going through the 28th verse. 3:19 through 28. We'll go right through 31, beginning at the 19th verse. We'll read responsibly. Notice what it has to say about the law. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, notice its purpose, and all the world may become guilty before God. And that's all. It can't make you sinless. It merely gives you the knowledge of sin. That's all. So the law placed the whole world guilty before God because no one could obey it. It was the moral holiness of God portrayed for us. And therefore, it was given that the whole world would be guilty before God. Therefore, no matter what you did, the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in his sight, for by the law is merely the knowledge of sin, so you understand. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. First commandment, you can't go any further. You fail. Right? Will someone put their hand up here who all their life has loved the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul? That's the seat of your emotions and passions. And all your mind? No one. Couldn't do it. All the world's guilty before God. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is made known to us, being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, under the law and not the law,
notice how you get the righteousness of God. Upon, notice, faith, and it's upon all who that believe. That believe. Just so we understand. If you go to the fourth chapter, it says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Of David it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then in the last part of chapter 4, it says, now this was not written for their sakes only, but for us. To whom it shall be imputed, this righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Tremendous. Don't you wonder where the moderner stands? Don't you wonder where these people hope to get salvation? Certainly that it's not the Bible. They at least might be honest and cast out the textbook, which they have no right to use, and say we're going the way that seems right to man. They might like to put a period there, but the rest of the verse there says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. And man's idea is live a good life. But God says you can't. God says the law gave you the knowledge of sin. It did not give you sinlessness. And this is so important. 23rd verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I challenge anybody to read this and then give me some other interpretation of how you become righteous before God. You may have other ideas before men, but never before God. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. The word propitiation in the Greek is the same as the mercy seat in the Old Testament, which I spoke of last week. The place where the blood was placed that Israel might be covered for their sin. In the Greek, the word is propitiation. Whom God hath set forth, Jesus Christ, to be the mercy seat through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
You declare, I say, at this time,
Well, that would take a whole message. He sits on the judge's bench. He's just. And he stands before the bar of justice with the sinner, and he's the justifier. The Father on the bench, the Son the advocate. And the sins are brought up, and the Father listens to the Son. And the Son says, Father, the penalty for this soul is death, but I have paid it for them. Just? Yes, penalty paid. Free. The justifier, Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? Boasting. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Isn't that tremendous? Put that in your mind. A man is justified only by faith in Christ, his blood, the only means of redemption. For without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. Make sure you understand that. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. You see, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't save. Baptism or no baptism by water doesn't save. Baptism is a following work of salvation, has no power to save, no rite that any man can ever perform with anyone can save their soul. This morning as I dedicate Todd, I will be dedicating Martha and Donald to Christ, that this son may come up to love the Lord Jesus. His justification will never be because I dedicated him. It will be because I dedicated his mother and father to Christ, and that they might bring him up, that they might own him eternally. Does anybody want to possess anyone less than that, eternally? And how blessed to know that God has provided a way. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, let us read together. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Of course, we never make it void. It stands there. It says the world is guilty. It's there. You know, there's another verse that says this, they that live by the law shall be judged by the law. We want that? Or would you rather be judged by the grace of God and the death of your Savior, Jesus Christ, in your behalf? Wow, how wonderful, how blessed.